It's that time when we chat with some of the chief executives of the UK's and indeed the world's leading sight loss charities. We'll look back at 2022, some of the challenges, some of the highlights, and ahead to 2023. Today, it is the turn of RNIB's chief executive, Matt Stringer. Thank you for joining us, Matt.
Hello, Alan. My pleasure to look back on the year.
It's been a very quick year. Didn't seem that long ago. We were talking about turkeys and Christmas puddings and things, but yeah, we are back once again, and I'm going to reflect on 2022. This is always a difficult part when I ask people to pick, you know, two or three highlights of the year. And I suppose for yourself, that's probably a tricky one as well, because it has been a very busy year.
It has. So first of all, I think the work we've done, which has still got to ultimately come to fruition, but working on the eye health pathway with charity sector partners and a large part of the NHS, I think is a really important and interesting programme. And I think if we into next year can land that across the devolved nations, I think it will be a big step forward for people not suffering from a fragmented process where there's no certainty that once you have an eye health diagnosis, you're going to end up getting the right support. It's a bit of a postcode lottery. You know, there's differences in the devolved nations, and there's always going to be a bit of nuance, but at the moment it's a very sort of incomplete landscape. And I think we sort of stepped in realizing this, and actually from a year ago, when this was a sort of early idea and we were in the foothills of this, over the course of this year we've come a long way and are very close to sort of signing off with the health service a pathway which will then be, you know, close to being sort of implementable. And it's not going to be easy next year, but if you ask me for a highlight of this year, I'd say the work we've done from taking this from being a good idea but very difficult to do a year ago to being something which now has more than a fighting chance of being implemented with a lot of support and buy-in from all the critical stakeholders, then I think that's a really major achievement. Well, a second thing, I'd be a bit brief. I mean, I think the work we've done around education has been great. We launched the VI curriculum framework in March, which was a work from between our education team, between other external partners like Birmingham University and other educational bodies. We've had some support from some philanthropists who are very keen on education. And we have a great education team with the RNIB. And having launched that in March, sort of on time, on plan, we've trained thousands of education professionals, 2,600 in fact. We've given guidance to over 2,000 parents, professionals and young people. That will mean thousands of teachers, in essence, in an educational context, being much more able to teach visually impaired children and help close the attainment gap, which we know to be very wide at the moment and clearly limits the life chances of sort of visually impaired kids coming through education and able to go out into society and, you know, be an active and successful contributor to UK society. So I think the work we've done there is great. It'll be a slow burn because, you know, this is years and years and years of sort of teaching to happen now, but I'm really pleased with how that's gone, and we have a very high quality team and they've done a great job in getting that launched in March. I'll give you one more. Employment. I really feel this with my background, that employers outside the sort of charity sector don't realise how positive it is to employ people of sort of, you know, any broad disability. But, you know, from our perspective, particularly blind and partially sighted people, it's all a bit difficult. No one thinks about it. And yet actually, if you can do it, then you get a very rich, sort of diverse workforce, brings a whole ton of benefit and value, and helps change the organisation. And I'm really pleased with the work we've done in this sphere, now really starting to coach employers to take on our visibly better employer standards and able to, you know, recruit, induct and sustain blind and partially sighted employers, you know, within the physical environment, through the use of technology, through working rhythms, building a sort of accessible environment to support, as I say, blind and partially sighted workers. And, you know, traditionally we've done a good job of saving people's jobs. Our focus has not been on getting people very proactively into work. And I think in the last 6 months, we've now started to sort of deliver on our plan to get people into work. We've got probably about 300 people into employment this year. And I'm really pleased with some of the big prizes where we've built these relationships with the likes of a Tesco. And we can see that we think over the last 3 or 4 months, Tesco's have employed 100 more visually impaired people in the UK than they did before joining us on this journey to be a visibly better employer. And you can extrapolate from that sort of success with Tesco into other employers who we're talking to and have signed up quite how many people we could get into work over the course of the next few years. And we have a target of getting about 12,000 people will be the number of blind and partially sighted people in the UK not working who want to. And we can make a real dent in that number, I think, over the next few years. So I'm really pleased with the start we've made this year.
Yeah, when you picked highlights, Matt, you picked three huge ones there, didn't you? Health, education and employment, three massive challenges, but three very successful projects to tackle those.
Yeah, they are. And a charity like ours should be trying to make a difference. And I think some of these things can be seen in two dimensions. Getting someone into a job is quite a practical thing. But actually, I think what we're trying to understand better is the sort of long-term impact of that. Because, not only does it improve the life of that person, and economic wealth, but also, sense of well-being and self-worth and contribution, but also, the family and the support around that individual. But also, the organisation you're working in, is going to make that organisation be a damn sight better at understanding diversity, understanding what it means to engage and support, blind and partially sighted people, and make you think about blind and partially sighted customers, and other people that you engage with, suppliers, whomever. And I just, that ripple effect, if you like, is massive beyond the simple job, if it is simple, of getting that person into work in the first place. And I think, those rippled benefits are things it's quite difficult to see, actually, and we're just wrestling with how we try and show that over time, if I'm honest. But you can only surmise that there are benefits in those areas beyond just getting someone a job. So they are big, but charity like ours should be really trying to get society to improve. And I think these things work on a number of levels, and a large part of this is getting UK society to be a much better place in the round for blind and partially sighted people.
Indeed, three big projects also, as you say, Matt, carrying on into 2023. There are things like See Sport Differently, See the Person, Not the Sight Loss. It's difficult, I suppose, for us to talk about all of these fantastic projects. But, looking ahead to 2023, what sort of things stand out for you there coming up?
I think you mentioned, See the Person, Not the Sight Loss, which was a fabulous campaign in the autumn and was the fourth thing I would have said if you'd asked me for four. But I think that, was a great campaign and unprecedented for the RNIB in its recent history in terms of the sophistication and the level of investment. But again, we didn't just do it to stand still and just forget it. It wasn't a thing that you sort of just did one off and then we moved on to the next thing, because it's all about getting UK society to understand what it means to be blind and partially sighted and understand what blind and partially sighted people can do. We're trying to sort of elevate UK society to understand the issues more. And we will continue more of that next year. So we won't necessarily just run a replica of the same campaign, but we're very ambitious to want to go out and engage, UK society with our purpose and with the change we want to bring. And we will be building on that campaign with that activity sort of next year, probably in the summer. So that's a major one. I think also in tough economic times, we're very, very grateful to all the people that, donate to the RNIB. We couldn't do it without the donations we get through whatever source. And again, chance to thank the listeners for all the work they've done, on helping us on that front. I'm sure there's many people listening who've done sponsored runs and taken part in events or buy a raffle ticket or whatever it might be, and, or even volunteer for us as well, So that's all fantastic, and genuinely we appreciate it enormously, and they're really making sure we try and sort of diversify our income streams next year and make sure we can maintain our work through what is a tough economic landscape. Again, is something that we're very much focused on for next year.
We will of course be chatting with you each week and bringing people up to date on all that's going on. Christmas is approaching. You looking forward to the break yourself? Are you a very festive person? Is it a season you enjoy?
I've always been a big Christmas fan, actually. I you'll hate me for saying this, Alan. I've never really been into Hogmanay New Year. I've always enjoyed, the running to Christmas, getting the tree up and being with the kids at home, although my kids are now at university. I like Christmas things, Christmas food, carol services, all those sorts of things, Christmas music. So this is a time of year I really enjoy. We are at home entertaining some family over Christmas, which again is good fun. I've got a bit of work between Christmas and New Year, but have a bit of time off over New Year as well before coming back on, I think it's the 3rd of January. So it's a nice break, and I am a Christmas fan. I like Christmas, so happy time of year for me.
And you'll have the King's speech this time, brand new for us at Christmas as well.
We shouldn't maybe not talk about last year without touching on the death of the Queen, who was our patron and over 70 years spent a large amount of time committed to the RNIB. She visited as many times, you know, held fundraising dinners and things for us. You know, she was really genuinely interested. And I was, I think, fortunate ultimately to realise that I exchanged letters with her through her private secretary in the summer before she died and had the chance to give her an update on how the RNIB was sort of faring, you know, which was a sort of positive message, and got a nice letter back from Balmoral only a couple of days before she died. So I was very fortunate that I managed to do that actually in retrospect. Clearly now, as for many charities, we're just waiting on confirmation of who our new patron will be. And we'd be delighted if it was the King, because I think he shows an interest in our agenda. You know, he visited the Royal National College for the Blind, and you know, we'd be delighted to have him. So we're waiting to hear on that. But we shouldn't talk about last year without, again, you know, showing our massive appreciation for all that the Queen brought as a patron over 70 years.
Absolutely. Who knows? That could be another big announcement for 2023. Matt, thank you very much for joining us. We will catch up with you again in 2023. But in the meantime, from everyone here at RNIB Connect Radio, do have a fantastic Christmas, a great new year, and we will speak soon.
Alan, thanks so much. And again, look, a big thank you to all the listeners for, you know, staying committed to Connect Radio, but also, you know, being interested in the RNIB, and whether you're, you know, a customer, you're a volunteer, you're a member of staff, you know, you donate to us. I'd really like to thank you for all your interest in the RNIB, and hope that you can continue to be connected with us through next year. So thank you, and happy Christmas.